There are three short questions found in the Word of God that I would bring before you today, dear friend. Each one is asked of an individual, and the intention is to reach his heart and conscience, to bring him to reality of thinking as to where he is, what he is, where he's going. The first question is found in Genesis 3. The Lord asked it of Adam. He says, "Where art thou?" The second question is found in Genesis 4. The Lord asks Cain, "What hast thou done?" And the third one that we wish to consider is found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. The question is this, "To whom belongest thou?" Now, grouping them together, we find them this way. Where art thou? What hast thou done? And to whom belongest thou? Now I desire that just as these questions were asked of the various ones in their day, that you would consider them as being asked of you, the listener, by God Himself. These are the words of God. In fact, the two first questions were asked by the Lord Himself. The third one was asked by David, who is a type of the Lord. But let us consider them in order. Turning to Genesis 3, first of all, where art thou? Now, God certainly knew where Adam was. But God intended that Adam should be made to realize where he was. And thus we have this question turned toward us today. Where art thou? Where art thou in relation to God, that is? What is your standing in regard to Him? Now, why was this question asked of Adam? Where was Adam? He had formerly been in communion with God. He had enjoyed the presence and fellowship of God as his Creator there in the Garden of Eden. But now here he was, having hid himself from the presence of the Lord God, and he was hiding amongst the trees of the garden. What had come in? What had disrupted his communion with God? Well, you know, and I know what it is. The Bible tells us it was his sin. And sin is what was at the root of his fear that he had here. He said, "I was afraid and went and hid myself." Sin in disobeying God is what caused him to flee from God's presence and to hide himself. Are you happy in the presence of God? Where are you in relation to Him? Do you love Him? Do you enjoy Him? Do you belong to Him? Where art thou? Adam, because of sin, had ruined himself. He had wandered from God. He was lost. God had told him that the day that he ate thereof, he would die, and he did die. Spiritually, he died. That is, he had his relationship with God disrupted. He had no link with God anymore. Dead in sin. And then, too, right that very moment when he sinned, he began to die physically, and ultimately he did. The seeds of death were in him. Sin is the seed of death. We read in the Bible that this is true of all of us who have come into the world since Adam's time as children of Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death is passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. And this is true of you and me, every single one, for the Bible tells us that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of sin, naturally, we are all without God, and without God, consequently, without hope, apart from God's provision. Now, God had a provision for Adam. Adam tried to do something about hiding his condition from God by making an apron of fig leaves. This is the natural reasoning of man. He wants to do something to remedy his condition, but he cannot. There's nothing that Adam could do that could take care of his sin. All the efforts of his own hands were insufficient to cover him from the eye of God. He couldn't cover his sin, and neither can you cover yours. God knows too where you are. But just as God did something for Adam, he has done something for you. God slew an animal and made coats of skin for Adam. This is what covered Adam and made him fit for God's presence. We see this typifies for us the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world and died for sin, that sinners might be brought to him. And you know this has taken place. It's not the works of our hands that puts away sin. All our efforts are vain and useless. But Jesus died and shed his blood. And because he finished the work of redemption, he has himself become our fitness to bring us to God. Where are you now in relation to God? The next question takes us to the next chapter. What hast thou done? The Lord asked this question also, and he asked it of our first brother, Cain. Now, God knew what Cain had done, just as he knew where Adam was. But God wanted to search Cain. He would desire that Cain might be brought to confession and repentance and to be blessed. But Cain had sinned. He had sinned flagrantly. The enmity of his natural heart had gone out against his brother Abel. Yes, Cain was religious, but that religion doesn't change the natural heart of man at all. And here we see Cain sinning, God asking him, "What hast thou done?" Might we stop and ask ourselves, what have we done? What have you done? You say, "Well, I've never murdered anybody." No, and perhaps not. But do we realize what sin is? Sin is lawlessness. Doing our own will is sin. And how many things we have done that are sinful. And regarding guilt, we're all on the same platform, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The degrees of our guilt may be various. But as to guilt itself, we stand all condemned before God. Have you ever admitted this? Do you realize that your sin is against God? And that the wages of sin is death? And if we die in our sins, we shall perish in our sins, we'll be judged in our sins? This is true of all men, but it need not be. Abel's picture of salvation in the offering of his sacrifice tells us that Christ has died in our stead. Now, Abel is a picture of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who accepts the fact that he has sinned. Cain didn't accept the fact that he had sinned. He felt that he'd done nothing wrong. He was as good as the next one. And he had his way of approach to God. But man's way is not God's way. The way that Abel approached him was the God-appointed way. Cain and Abel had heard from the same parents the way of approach to God was by the way of sacrifice. And God had promised a coming Redeemer in the garden, the seed of the woman. Abel believed that. Cain didn't. Abel offered his sacrifice in view of that promise of the coming of Christ. He had faith in the coming Redeemer who must die for his sin. And in offering this animal sacrifice, it was just a picture, a type of that. And Abel was saved. He was redeemed on the basis of his faith in a coming sacrifice. Cain rejected this. What had he done? He sinned, and then to make it worse, he fled from God's presence. He rejected God's offer. God said, if you do well, Cain, if you offer, you'll be accepted. There's a sin offering at the door, and friend, there is a remedy for your sin right where you are. The Lord Jesus Christ is available. His sacrifice was for you to be accepted. But Cain went out of his presence, the presence of the Lord. He went out to build a city. He went out to get along without God, just as man has done ever since. Cain built a tremendous civilization. There's no question about it. We little realize how wonderful it must have been. But it was all without God, and it was destroyed in the flood. And whatever man does today without God is going to come to judgment. What hast thou done? Oh, regardless of what you have done, let me tell you that there is forgiveness for you. God has mercy. God wants to pardon. And regardless of how deep dyed your sins might be, or how little you might have sinned, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. And it is the blood and the blood of Christ alone that can forgive your sins and make you fit for God. What hast thou done? Confess that thou hast sinned, and the Lord Jesus will forgive you. The third question is found in 1 Samuel 30. Was asked by David. David is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ in rejection. He was the anointed one, but yet rejected by Israel. And that is the character and position of Christ today. The question is asked of a young man of Egypt, an Amalekite, who is a picture of just you and me, a worldling, born into the world. And we have the flesh within us, and we're marked as being in the flesh, away from God. It's the natural position of every man. And you notice the condition of this man depicts the condition of every one of us. He was sick, he was starving, and he was abandoned by his master. How true this is. But notice David comes along, and David is seeking this man. He finds him, and the Lord Jesus Christ wants to find you. Well, that's why he came into the world, to seek and to save the lost. Those who are sick, those who are starving and abandoned, those who are ruined and confess it, the Lord Jesus saves. The question that David asked this young man was, to whom belongest thou? Will you not let God ask you that question? To whom belongest thou? This man confessed he belonged to Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. You belong to the world? You know, the world is in opposition and antagonism to God. The world loves its own. When the Lord was here, he said to his disciples, if ye were of the world would love you, for the world loves its own. But ye are not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Are you of the world yet? The world system, the system of things, the god of this world is Satan himself. Are you under that domain? Is your master Satan? The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, to some of those Pharisees, he said, ye are of your father the devil. And he was a liar from the beginning. Are you serving Satan? Are you in connection with that over which Satan rules? Oh, this is the condition of yourself unless you're born of God, unless you're saved. Do you belong to sin? Do you love sin? You love to do your own will? The Lord Jesus said in John 8, he that practices sin is the servant of sin, and what a master sin is. He pays his wages. He doesn't care for you. His wages is death and sorrow. That's it. To whom belongest thou? Well, this man came out and honestly confessed to whom he belonged, and this is the gateway to blessing. The Lord wants you to realize that if you confess that you have sinned, and that you have gone your own way, that you have yielded to the service of Satan, then he will, on that basis, present himself to you for your acceptance. He wants that you should belong to him. Tell me, to whom belongest thou? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you ask, what do I mean? I mean this. Has the Lord Jesus Christ become your Savior? Have you believed that he died on the cross to redeem you? In Corinthians, we read of the believers, you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. This is true of the believer. Is it true of you? If you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you've repented of your sins to him, and you have believed that he is the one who is your deliverer, just as this young man of Egypt accepted David as his deliverer. He received what David ministered to him. He was blessed. He then became the property of David. Are you the property of the Lord Jesus? Well, he died to redeem you. And to redeem you means to purchase you for himself, to set you free from your sin, to set you free from your old master, from Satan, from the world, from sin. Yes, the blood of Christ sets you free from that when you accept him as your Savior and you receive a new master. Tell me, is he your master? He wants to be. And he will be if you will yield yourself to him in repentance and faith in his work for you at Calvary. Now then, will you notice these three questions? Where art thou? What hast thou done? To whom belongest thou? And I pray God that he will use these today to reach into your heart and conscience. And if you are away from God, and if you have yet yourself in the condition of sin, rebellion against him, if you are still belonging to the world and Satan, that you will repent and trust Christ today and be blessed. God grant that you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Gracious God, our Father, we thank thee for the deliverance, the victory, the salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that thou wilt use these questions to arouse every listener to the realization of his need and to turn to Christ without delay for deliverance and salvation through faith in him. We ask it in his worthy and precious name. Amen.